special podcast series here where Pastor John and I are conversing about last year in 2016, the amazing truths that God has been teaching us. Mm-hmm. We're doing this because here in the month of January 2017, we're doing Integrate Services, and we got a very discussion-oriented time for our message time. So it's very difficult to post that online, so we thought we would just invite you into some of the conversations mm-hmm. that Pastor John and I usually have yeah. about these matters. And I thought last time what we talked about was just so invigorating about the kingdom of God, and a little bit about, we talked about the conversation that we continue to have with Father God and how mm. he leads us into these different sermon series
yeah.
and that he sets the agenda.
Yes.
But also in regards to what it means to experience the kingdom of God in our lives.
Mm.
I thought maybe where we could just continue
yeah.
from our last time was, I believe, a very strong point that you brought many times mm-hmm. through the messages, and that was the absolute difference between the kingdom of darkness
yeah.
and the kingdom of light,
yes.
and that there was a complete separation
mm.
from those two kingdoms.
Yes.
Just to summarize, could you give us a little bit more meat to that point that you had
yeah,
brought?
I think a good place just to remind ourselves again is, what is a kingdom? Mm-hmm. As we said a couple of times back, a kingdom is a place, a time, an environment where a king rules. He has his will.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about the kingdom of God, we know that God is the one that rules and reigns there. And when we think about the kingdom of darkness, then there has to be a king or a prince or a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in our experience, and as the Bible teaches, we know that that is Satan
yes.
himself. So that's important to understand, because in those kingdoms, someone rules, mm-hmm. and there's not dual rulership. So in the kingdom of darkness, of course, Satan himself rules. And the Bible tells us so clearly and so many times by illustrations how completely different the kingdom of darkness is from the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light.
Right.
And there's a beautiful verse that we refer to, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13,
yes.
where in his letters there, Paul tells us that God himself has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
And that right there, I think, is a very clear indication of the fact that when we live in the kingdom of darkness, it is a place of danger.
Right.
And of course, it may be called ultimate danger, because if we continue living in that kingdom of darkness and we never allow God to rescue us from that, we know that ultimately that leads us to living forever separated from God in hell.
Wow.
This is why God wants and desires so much to rescue us.
Yes.
Because he desires for us to have life.
Right.
And to have it abundantly.
Amen.
And so I think, as you said, Pastor, one of the most important truths that we can ask the Spirit of God to help us with is an understanding of how opposite in every way God's kingdom is from the kingdom of darkness.
Right, just like light and darkness.
Yes, in their names.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Right.
Death.
And life.
And life.
Yeah.
And that will run right the way through in every aspect of life where we can see either the kingdom of darkness manifested, shown, revealed through a person's allegiance to the ruler of that kingdom, we will see the fruit, the evidence of that in a person's life, as opposed to when someone has allowed God to rescue them truly and bring them into his kingdom, then we have the opportunity to experience his kingdom life in our lives. So having this clear understanding, I think, helps us as we go through different aspects of our life,
right,
to identify that there is a very big difference to acknowledging I'm now in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
I can now see his kingdom life, as opposed to I used to be in the kingdom of darkness.
That's right. And you brought this up time and time again in the messages, that we don't have dual citizenship.
Exactly.
That we cannot have citizenship in both kingdoms.
Exactly.
It's impossible. Mm-hmm. But this does bring up a question that I think you and I both address personally with people, and it is this: it's why do then, if that's true, if I'm completely transferred and have been rescued into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and him being my king and leader, and that I'm no part of the kingdom of darkness. One, why do these bad things still happen to me? Or probably even more importantly, why do I still sin and engage with things that seem to be very much of the kingdom of darkness?
Yeah.
And I think it's quite a struggle for people,
our
brothers and sisters, because this is such an important, powerful truth that we're talking about here. And I believe if we can bring some clarity here, it will set people free.
I truly believe that. I can only refer to my own experience in this and identify very clearly as a young man this battle, in a sense, in my mind, this confusion as a young Christian, wanting to serve God and yet finding it so easy, seemingly, to allow sin still to have its place, to give in to temptation. And of course, that's what our enemy desires.
Right.
Even for Christians, his work doesn't finish the moment a person gives their life to Jesus.
It doesn't, does it?
And sin doesn't suddenly become something we're immune to. And the effects of it surround us, and we are confronted by it time after time after time every day, whether it's in the form of visual temptation, whether it's in the form of a response in our heart towards somebody or something that we feel hurts us or does us wrong in some way. So many different ways that we have these opportunities to allow sin to still affect us.
And that's a key word there, Pastor. Allow.
Yes.
Sin to still affect us.
Absolutely. Because as children of God, as those who have been adopted into his family, as those who are now citizens of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, we are now no longer under the dominion of sin.
Amen.
God's word says that.
That's right.
We don't have to do what sin tells us to.
We don't.
Praise God.
Amen.
And we don't have to do what the enemy wants us to do, because he is no longer our Lord, our Master.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is. And so it is, for the believer, it is something we choose to allow or not. Now, I know that there was a time in my life where that didn't seem to be the fact. And I think, Pastor, that there's a couple of of foundational reasons why we, as Christians who have genuinely given our lives to Christ, why we still struggle with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Why we don't see the clarity in the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And it seems like, at times, we have a foot in each camp.
Right.
And I think one of those things is, with great respect, ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that we're ignorant people. I simply mean we haven't learned. We haven't been told
right. The
truth.
Mm-hmm.
Our hearts have not become saturated with the truth of God's word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, we can still believe a lie.
That's right.
I love what you said once. I think it may have even been during this series, that a lie only has power if we believe it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's so true, but it can be sometimes so convincing mm-hmm. that it seems right to believe it.
That's right.
That I'm in the kingdom of God, but I'm still a human, mm-hmm. so therefore I will still sin.
Mm-hmm.
I will still, in other words, I will still follow the ruler of the kingdom of darkness.
Well, the truth is that the sin was our master.
Yes, exactly.
For a period of time, mm-hmm. maybe for a long time for some people.
Yeah.
And that voice, if you will, of sin, it was familiar and it had authority
mm-hmm.
in people's lives.
Absolutely.
So that comes, of course, we don't think about in that way, to where the devil comes to us. We're like, oh my goodness, the devil's telling me things to do.
No.
It usually comes in our thoughts.
Yes.
And those lies of who we are,
mm-hmm.
What we should be doing,
yeah.
so on and so forth. And before we had another authority, we didn't know anything. And
no. Sometimes
it's very like having a very, maybe I'll use this word, like an abusive authority figure,
mm-hmm.
Being a part of a person's life for so long that even when they're freed from that authority figure, they still are fearful.
Yes,
of their sense, their authority over them.
Yeah.
Say they're in prison. Say they're dead. Say they've been completely stripped of their ability to influence. In some ways, that person can still feel intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's true.
If they don't know that this is. They don't have to.
That's right.
They don't have to allow for that influence anymore. The Bible does tell us that we to take every thought captive.
Yes.
In submission to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
But we don't. Sometimes we don't recognize that, and we believe we still are very we feel that familiar voice or that message in those lies, and we believe them. And we continue to live those out.
Mm.
Right?
You know, Pastor, as you're talking, I'm reminded of what we do in the nations. We call it growth track.
Yeah.
Which is a means by which people coming into the nation's church are able to not only hear, but really receive the truth of God's word concerning his vision for us.
And I love.
In our first
opportunity.
Time together. Yeah. It's so powerful,
mm-hmm.
powerful times. And as we meditate in the first session, we talk about the freedom that is ours in Christ. And this so often I experience is a message that so many of us have not heard.
Right.
Or not felt able to fully take hold of in our hearts, because it seems almost too good
mm-hmm.
to be true. Or on the other hand, it seems like it's a demand of God.
Mm.
Now you're a Christian, you must not sin. And we say, but God, it feels like I can't help it.
Yes.
But God's not saying that.
No.
And one of our key verses helps us with this truth, Romans 8 verse 2, which in the New Living Translation says this: because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has set you free from the power of sin and death.
Amen.
And I often say to people, if you learn just one verse this week, learn that one.
Amen.
Because when that truth gets into your heart and you allow the Spirit of God to take that truth and apply it to your marriage, apply it to your relationships at work, apply it to your thoughts that no one else sees or hears, apply it to the feelings and emotions that we all experience,
right.
Apply it to those times when we're tempted, then we start to see the power of that when we let God's Spirit infuse our very being with that truth.
Amen.
And then I was reminded also of when Jesus was baptized in water by John the Baptist. The Bible says that the heavens opened after he was baptized, and God spoke and said, "You are my beloved Son, and I take great delight in you." That was God speaking to his Son. It was God telling him who he is.
Before even his ministry began.
Exactly.
Before he did any work,
yes,
of ministry, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't, "Oh, now you've done this, now I'll call you my Son."
That's right.
It was, as you said, before all of that. And I remember again as a young Christian reading that. And first of all, I couldn't imagine what it looked like. because it was Jesus that God was talking to. John the Baptist, I'm sure, heard it. But he says, "You are my Son." And then some years later, I remember reading on beyond that and seeing how the Spirit of God, who had descended upon Christ, led him into the wilderness, the desert. And there, Satan came and tempted him, we read.
Yeah.
And on each of the three occasions, questioned who Jesus is.
That's right.
If you are the Son of God. And something you said a few moments ago, Pastor, I think is so, so important for us, that we know who God says we are.
Amen.
Not who we would like to be.
And
this is a truth that's so relative to his kingdom.
Oh, I love this.
So one with this truth. Because if we don't believe what God says about us and who he says we are, we're always going to be in a battle in trying to work out, so how do I live in God's kingdom?
Yeah, you're so right. So
because we're going to be almost like confused about our identity.
And confused, but also we set ourselves up to thinking about what a Christian should be.
Exactly.
And trying to live to our own standards or somebody else's standards of what a child of God should
look like.
And totally ignore, in some ways, the absolute power and the strength that we can gain from knowing who God says we are. Because that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when we start there, and we live from there, he becomes our firm foundation that we stand on, don't we?
He does, and it brings us back to this concept of relationship.
Yes.
That which is so key. We cannot be a Christian without having this relationship with God, ever deepening, ever getting more and more established in that place of trust. The more we put our trust in God, the more we see that his ways are perfect. What he says is true.
Yes.
His promises do come to pass.
That's right.
And that can never happen if all we feel we have is this dutiful religion.
Yeah.
And we're trying to lift ourselves up. Out of the kingdom of darkness. We've got to be a good person now. You know, we're Christians. Christians should be this way. And you and I know we can't do that.
It's impossible.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally.
And the trap looks like this. If you do something wrong, you sin, and you have this other truth, that what God says of you is that you're blameless, you're complete in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at that and you say, well, that can't be true, mm-hmm. because I just did this.
Exactly.
Now I have to somehow make up for it and make it right, or to reach the standard of what's already been completed in Christ Amen. Jesus. Yes. That's true. Mm-hmm. And then, but if we don't believe that, we can have a lifetime of incredible struggle.
Exactly.
And so just to summarize this for this question, the reason I believe, as we're talking about, that people, Christian brothers and sisters, struggle with sin is they believe the lie.
Yes.
But they don't have to.
No.
We've been set free.
Absolutely.
Because we belong to Him.
Yes.
And the power of the life-giving Spirit lives in us.
Mm.
And has set us free Amen. From the power of sin that leads to death.
And there is no more any condemnation.
There's no condemnation.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, believe this.
Mm.
Know who you are, who God says yes. you are. Let that be where you start, regardless of what you see around you
mm.
or what you do. And that is where God will start to bring His freedom
yes.
and His strength and purpose into your life.
Mm.
I feel like we could just keep going on this time and time, but that is our time for today. And I thank you again for joining us. We do hope and believe this can be such a blessing to you. Share it. Share this conversation with other people and let it be a platform where you can launch into greater and greater relationship with God
Amen.
And His truths to settle into your heart. Thanks again. God bless.
God bless you.